want to thank again the Partners of the Year for sponsoring the Shiurim Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Gedalia ben Reb Shimon, the Sham Shav Neliyah, the Simcha Nachas and Brach. Okay, we're in Ayeka on page Ayin. Let's just go over the last paragraph from the beginning. That's where we're up to. So we're learning how a big part of the world has made Chofesh, has made freedom, independence, as the objective and the goal and the highest ideal of life. When in truth, Chofesh is only a kli to reaching the true ideal of life, which is the answer to the question of Ayeka. To be able to answer that question, to know, to be able to bring out in one's life the atzmias, the sherish of who a person is, and that's something. And when chofesh becomes the tachlis, when that freedom becomes the tachlis of life, then it will always lead to the opposite of simcha, to the opposite of mishenechnas adam arvin besimcha. We've learned over the years, over and over, that the svasemis and all the tzaddikim tell us that it's not a magical thing, that all of a sudden when it becomes other, so then there's simcha. And part of the experience of Purim was feeling free from the usual constraints of regular day-to-day behavior. But then when Purim ends, the people who are sad people are still sad. Lo aleinu. I mean, hopefully not, but they're still sad because the svasemis and other tzaddikim explain that mishenichnas other means that it only works when other is inside of you. Mishenichnas other, right? Mishenichnas other doesn't mean when it becomes the month of other. I mean, that's the simple pshat. But everybody knows that just when the clock strikes, you know, tseis, then the erev hashchodesh, that means, oh, I feel so happy. You know, all my troubles are over. Life is good. What happened to you? You're still a shlamazel. What happened to you all of a sudden? The calendar changed. And now, oh, I'm so happy that Haman was killed and Achashverosh is finished and everything's gevaldik. Mishenichnas adar, as we always learn, it means that when adar enters into you, when you are in a place of adar, it's always like that. So you'll have the excitement of the big event of Purim. The whole Indian of 2 months of adar is a very, very deep thing. I'm going to speak to the women about that on Wednesday, Bez Hashem. But the Indian of Purim cotton, and it's a very, very unusual thing, an ibiyur, what we have now, especially during the Indian matzah that's going on. But it doesn't happen. Mishenichnas adam avim b'simcha. Everybody's happy. There are very difficult things that are going on in our lives and in the life of Am Yisrael. It's only mishenichnas other when you're in that place of other inside of yourself. So let's just review from the beginning of that paragraph. B'muvan zeh, the bottom of page ayin, I mean the bottom, a little bit past the half. B'muvan zeh yesh ladash, sha'atzmi yesh ha'amitish shalanu hi garin kodesh Hashem chokak banu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has engraved in each and every one of us a holy, garin means a holy seed, which is that atzmius, which that each person Hashem stamped individually, that each and every one of us has the stamp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chesima of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the atzmius of each and every one of us has his or her own atzmius self. Shutiv'enu hashalim v'amolei, which is the true teva of that person, the essence, the nature of who that person is. Ha'atzmius kolelas nefesh ruach neshama lakis shenafach banu Hashem. And that atzmius has in it the nefesh ruach neshama and so on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused in each one of us. U'ksha'onu mevakshon v'das mahu ha'chofesh ha'toiv ha'vareinu. Therefore, when a person wants to know what is the chofesh, what is that chofesh that is really what the chofesh that is good, that I need, that I'm looking for. U'mahim ha'gvulos ha'mevarachim. And what are the healthy boundaries, the healthy gvulos of a person's life? Shememakdim ha'yisana b'mimush ha'atzmius. The gvulos that help us to focus on bringing out that atzmius. The gvulos, the boundaries, the rules and regulations and the gvulos that take a person and that take each one of us and help us focus on being able to discover the atzmius and to bring out the atzmius. Ha'amitishalo. So ani tzrichim l'habit pnima. So we have to look inside of ourselves. Al soid garin ha'atzmius Hashem bar v'nafach banu. To try to understand that sod of the atzmius that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has infused in each one of us. V'kach mikocha nuchal lahagdir ma'u ha'chefesh amiti. And only in that perspective can you really define what is your own personal freedom. What is your chofesh? What does it mean to be free? V'lakir es erkam shel ha'gvulos. And to recognize the value and the importance of those boundaries, of the gvulas. Hashomrim aleinu, the purpose of the gvulas, as we learned last week, are to protect each and every one of us. Shlo nispazer, that we should not become dispersed. Doesn't mean one from the other. When the Gemara says that the biggest lashon hara of Haman was that he said Yeshno amecha mefuzo mefarid ben ha'am, that the Jewish people are mefuzo mefarid. The Mefarshim explain divided and dispersed. It doesn't just mean that we're spread out all over the world. That's one thing. That's true. Mefuzo and mef, but it means also means amongst each other we're divided, and on a deeper level it means each person within himself is divided. The Vilna Gaon Switzerland has said that the 70 nations of the world are within each person. On some level, within each person, there's a whole milchama going on, you know, between there's a part of a person that's this nation, there's another part that's a different nation, the 70 midas and the 70 umays, and a person himself could be in the biggest galus within himself. Is the gvulas, the gvulas of Yiddishkeit are there in order to prevent a person from slipping away from himself, from being lost, from getting divided, from being divided and dispersed and being in galus. Lo nivgod ba'atzmi yusayna, to prevent us from betraying the atzmius of ourselves, that we should not betray the atzmius. So a person, so this happens not only, this happens on all different madrigas, it happens. You have a woman, and this woman says that her only simcha sechaim will be if she puts on talis and tefillin. So this whole thing that my whole simcha sechaim is because I can't put on talis and tefillin. And she believes that through that, if some rabbi blesses her that she's allowed to put on talis and tefillin, and then she's free to be able to serve Hashem in the best way possible. When that gvul that separates between men and women, all of the gvul is to separate between men and women, and what your responsibilities are and what your responsibilities are, other rabbi, those gvulas are what allow each one of those, the man and the woman, to be bemis, to be free. And much of the misery that we're living in right now is because of the disappearance of those borders, or the open borders, like we have here in America. So the open borders that were a man, a woman, a man. So this did not bring happiness to the world. This hasn't brought Simchas Chaim. It's brought that unbelievable confusion and a terrible, terrible sadness and a misery. Because the purpose of the border is to be able to enable the individual to be focused and to be faithful to who he is and who she is. This person, some lady that wants to put on talis and tefillin, and she wants to, you know, to stand by the kosher with a talis and tefillin to hold show the whole world that she is free to serve Hashem in the way that she wants. So she's not achieving through that freedom. She's defying the essence of who she is. The essence of who she is not talis and tefillin. It's just not. You can say it's not fair. God's this, God's that. If I would be God, I would have done it differently. You can say whatever you like. It's just not. It's not for her. It's not for her. The talis and tefillin. It's a loser. It's just not. How do we know that? Because Hashem's Baruch made it. That's how you made it. It's not. And she wants to be free to do that. And she feels that her freedom is being restricted by not doing that. And when the borders of halacha were in many, you know, the borders were lifted, so the men want to sit together with the women to sit together in shul with the men. So the border that exists in every shul for thousands of years, that there's a border between the men and the women, so that was going to make Jews happy. That was going to bring them closer to each other, closer to Hashem Yisbarach, that was going to make them. It doesn't work. When you remove the borders, when you remove those borders that came to us through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebaal Peh, those borders are there to see to it that the woman will be a woman and the man will be a man. When we say Havdalah, all of Halacha is is to create those Havdalahs in order to ensure that each and every Jewish man and woman will be able to achieve the Kedusha in his life and her life that he and she is able to. So the woman that's convinced that the only way that the only way that I know you're not in this Nashka anyway, I'm just talking to them. But the only way that a woman that thinks the only way she could have Kedusha is if she also does Hakafis and she takes a Sefer Torah, and that's how she's going to get close to Hashem. So that is a dimyon. It's dumb. It's the American definition. It's the Western definition of freedom, which means to do what I want. And once it becomes in something which is in Ruchnius, it takes on a whole different life. And it becomes a huge fight, and everybody's all upset, and it gets everybody worked up. But the emphasis is, that's not your place. That's not for you. Why, Hashem doesn't want me to... Hashem doesn't want me to be happy? No, Hashem wants you to be happy. Hashem doesn't want me to have Kedusha? Hashem wants to have Kedusha. Hashem doesn't want me to dance with the Sefer Torah in the... No. No, that you're right. He does not want that. But then how am I supposed to be happy? Because I want to do that. That's going to make me happy. That's going to make me feel closer to Hashem. So this is the point of the Gevulis is to be able to remain faithful to what you can do and who you are. And when a person understands this, he appreciates the value and the misikos, the sweetness of the mitzvahs lo yiseh, which usually one looks at those as being restrictive and difficult and heavy, but the misikos of the no, you can't. There's a misikos to that. There's a misikos. V'nismach behem. And we could be besimcha. We could say l'shem yichud. This lady that she wants to put on tzitzis, she could say l'shem yichud k'shuk yichud shchinte. Hine muchen mezun l'kayim mitzvahs habari is baruch shemai. I'm now to make the biggest yichud shemayim. That I'm surrendering my will to his will. He told me, put on a skirt, not a tzitzis. That's all. Worry about dressing the way you're supposed to dress and stop thinking about it. It's not for you. Finished. That's the end of it. And you can say, L'shem yichud kutshu b'yichud shchinte. L'shem yichud kutshu b'yichud shchinte. That I'm surrendering my will to his will. In order that what? In order that I could serve him as myself. Not to imitate somebody else's avoda that's not me. It never ever brings to the true simcha. Without any feeling that these borders, these boundaries, these restrictions are mi'ikim aleinu, that they're annoying and bothering. The same way that we're, in a few hours in Mitzvah we're going to have Shabbos, everybody here knows that that's what we're looking forward to the whole week, right? We're looking forward to the Baruch Shalom saying, don't do these things. We're excited about it. A person from the outside looks at us like we're totally insane. You're looking forward to to 26, 27 hours, whatever comes out of Tzachakol. You're looking forward to the next period, the next day. You're looking forward to not doing things that you want to do. So we say we want not to do them. Not only do we want not to do them, but I look forward the whole week to not doing those things. But you mean you don't like doing those things? I love doing those things. I love doing those things. So what do you mean? Then why are you looking forward to not doing the things that you love doing? The Torah says, because there's something I love much more than those things. And my whole ability to even feel love for anything in my life is because of those things that the master of the world told me not to do. Because otherwise I blur into some creature that I'm not. And when I become a creature that I'm not, then nothing in the world makes me happy. Which that's what we're living in, a world where nobody's happy. Nothing can make this person happy. Nothing makes the person happy. For a minute, he has a... But nothing makes this person happy. Because there's no person. So nothing makes the person happy. So you're looking forward the whole week to not doing the things that you... What do you enjoy most? I enjoy playing the piano. So you're looking forward to Shabbos. Shabbos. What are you going to do on Shabbos? I'm not going to play the piano. But you just said that you love playing the piano. Oh, Shabbos, I'm not playing the piano. A guy can't understand himself. The Nesatel guy outside, they can't understand that. It's such a, what does that mean? You like playing the piano. You have a day off from work. You can sit the whole day by the piano. What do you know? I'm looking forward to not playing the piano. Shabbos. Not, you don't have to get into the whole thing. It's so nice. We sing some ears. And that's for the outsiders to say those things. Although, of course, it's true. But we sing some ears. I get to sit with my family. These are, you're trying to make Bali Tshuva like this. But the insiders all know that, it's gewaldig. There's so many things I love to do, and I'm not doing them. Besides the things that we don't like to do, like to go to work and to be hacked and clapped with the world. Okay, that's nice. But the things that I'm not playing piano on Shabbos. I'm not playing ball on Shabbos. I'm not turning on a light on Shabbos. I'm not moving muktzah on Shabbos. What a schus we have. A guy doesn't have such a musa. Can't have such a musa, what that means. The joy of not doing something that I like. What does that mean? The joy of not doing something that you like comes from the recognition that the deepest part of who I am likes what God likes. And likes what God likes me to like. And on Shabbos, he does not like me to play piano. And for the woman to say, God does not like me to grab a Sefer Torah and to imitate the men. God does not like that. That's not what he wants for you. He loves you, and he wants something better for you. What could be better than dancing the Sefer Torah? Not dancing the Sefer Torah. But they are. But then you're no different than the little children you're dealing with. But she does, and he does. These diborim are for children. Anybody that has children knows what that means, but he doesn't, but she does. That's the agmas nefesh of parents dealing with this. He does, and she does, and she does, and he does. And how come I can't? How come she can? How come I can't? He can't. She can. This is for children. The Rosh Hashanah treats us like adults. He says, "I love you. That's why you can't do this." But how come the Kohanim can do him? It's not fair. How come I can't do him? I love Jews. I want to go up there also, and I want to. So nice. You get to walk. I want to do that too. How come he gets to do him? I don't get to do him. Well, you like the Kohanim better than me. I know you like Kohanim more than you like me. That's why, right? They're the chosen people, and you don't like me. You don't like me. If you really liked me, I could also go up and do him. But you're not a Kohen. I want to bless Jews. So you can bless Jews, you hold them, do whatever you can bless Jews all day long. No, I want to bless them with the talis over me and to move like that and everybody should hear me going, Yishmerecha. I want to be able to you have, then you have the coin that likes to be the last one that, I want to be that Yishmuhecha. But that's not, the Rishon told you not to do that. You want to bless Jews? Because it's all right, bless Jews. Hashem loves when Jews bless each other. But you're not a kohen. You stay over here and the kohen goes over there. And now we're in the parish, we're just entering into the parish of the Mishkan. The Rishon says, this is exactly how this goes. You go here, you go there. You're not allowed to go over there. You go here, it's the biggest thing in the world. You go here, you're going to die. Same, I can't go there where he can go. No, you go there, you're going to die. But when he goes there, he's doing a big mitzvah from the Torah. That's right. Well, when you go there, you're going to die. That's it. That's Hagbol Sahar. That's what we said last week. The Hagbol, a Gvul. Is that because Hashem doesn't love you? No, that's because Hashem Zohar loves you. And he knows, and he created that kohen, that when that kohen goes over there, it's going to bring kapara upon all of Am Yisrael when that kohen goes there. But if you go into that place, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you, and your wife's going to be an almana. That's what that's going to do if you go into that place. But I want to go to that place. It's not fair. How come the kohen goes to? How come the kohen gol is able to go to the kodesh kodashim? I also want to go to the kodesh kodashim because I want to be holy. So the Rishon says, I know you want to be holy. I love you, and your way of being holy is by not going to the kodesh kodashim and enjoy not going to the kodesh kodashim. Be besimcha to know that I'm giving you your whole chiyus, your whole life by staying outside the kodesh kodashim. But then, how come the kohen gol can go? Because I made him to a kohen gol. That's his atzmius. To go in there for all of Am Yisrael, that's him. But that's not you. For him, that's a chiyus, and to give chiyus to the whole Jewish people and to the whole world. For you to go into that place is death. And bringing death upon other people, Chalila, to go into that place. Causing a churban. Those were the gvulas. And then when a person understands this, then nismach behem. Then we're happy with the gvulas. Adirabba. No, yeah. Lo shum laki erkam as a gvulas hashom alen shalom espazalim nivgod ba'atzmeinu. Kach nuch lahakev es erkam yisikusam shalak gvulas v'nismach behem v'chol v'veinu. We could nismach v'chol v'veinu. We could be happy with the prohibitions, with the isurim. Without feeling the slightest bit annoyed or upset, or feeling that they're taking, that these gvulos are taking away my freedom. Husband and wife, they love each other. They want to be able to hold each other. And the Baruch Shem says, "Not now, but I want to." But that's my wife. That's my husband. And so why can't I? You don't love me? So Benjamin says, no, I love you, and I want you to love each other in the way that I know you can love each other, and that's only by being faithful to yourselves. And how do I make sure that you're faithful to yourselves? By telling you that there's such a thing as a mikveh, there's such a thing as halacha, there's such a thing as taras and mishpacha. And to the whole world, also, it looks like they're crazy. Crazy people. Adrabba, nabit heitev shagvulas halalu, heim sharei achofish amiti. These gvulas of what Hashem Yisroch said you can't do, these are the gateways that lead a person to true chofish. This is how Hashem helps us along our journey, along the path to becoming free. Shkein davke heim moitziyim el apoel es hohar ha'atz mishalonu. Because davke these mitzvahs I say, and these mitzvahs lo yisei say, the positive and negative commandments, the raisa, the rabbanon, and all of our customs, everything, this is how it brings out the ha'atz mishalom. That's how it brings out, and that's why this one feels drawn davka. It keeps everything, but feels more connected to this and to that because of the shurish of that person's nisham. They feel more drawn to it, to certain yontif, to certain mitzvah. Mitzvah say, they're very strong in this inyan, they're very, very strong. Because the neshama feels that there's more of a deeper connection to that particular. Hashem reveals that to the person, such a thing. But not because you want or you don't want. Shkein davke mitzim el ha'poel es ha'or ha'atz mishalonu. Shutachlis ha'osher v'tamsis ha'chayfesh. That's the tachlis of osher of happiness. The tamsis ha'chayfesh and of freedom. Page Ayin Aleph. Tuvna Hazu, which means insight. This insight that we just learned, this understanding, this insight. Posachas b'feinenu shar, opens before us a gate. Lahavin mahu ayachas anachon legvulos shateri higbilosano, to understanding and to having a healthy relationship with and an understanding of these gvulos of the boundaries shateri higbilosano. B'mitzvos lo yisasei, all the negative commandments and b'siyogim, and then the fences that Chazal set up around the mitzvos lo yisasei and so on. B'mabat chitzoni, when you look at this in a chitzoniistic way, when you look at this in a shallow way, ha'agbolos halalo niros k'me'ein tachtiv chitzoni v'zar lano. When you look at halacha in a superficial way as an outsider, then you feel that you're being dictated to something which is very strange and very very confining and restricting. Kiliyesh lamaila mishu sharak roitza livchanis and emanis shalonu klapov. Kilu, there is somebody above. There's this God above, who wants to test to see whether or not you're faithful to him. That's the whole thing. And truth be told, when I was growing up, that's the impression that I got. That's the point of the Los Essays. Every single talk we heard as kids and in school was about, this is a Nisayon, this is a Nisayon, this is a Nisayon. And it's true that all of life, like the Ramchal says, the beginning is a Milcham, it's Nisayonis. But the impression that we got from all the years of hearing those things was that really, There's no deeper reason for these strange restrictions. If I can't have an ice cream unless I wait 6 hours after the hot dog, it's because God has this arbitrary. He's chosen these arbitrary ways of just testing whether or not I listen to him, just to see, to make sure that I'm, you know, that I'm obedient. So there are 650 mitzvahs divided, the 248 positive, 365 negative, and all the countless drabbanans. These are all tests. You are now being tested. And that's it. So of course it is an Nisayon. But kilu, that's the tachlis of the lo seseis. The tachlis of the lo seseis, of the restrictions, and living a life with restrictions, is just, and obligations, is just God's, you know, way of making sure that I'm his servant, and he has all kinds of rules and regulations. To some of them I understand. Okay, it says don't kill. I get it. You know, whatever, honor your parents. I get it. Stuff like that. But otherwise, it's all kinds of things. It's really just, he just wants to live chonis and emanish and a klapa. He just wants to test whether or not we work for him. L'shem kach, and because of that, noson reshimas chukim she'aleim aleinu l'tzayis. Therefore, he gave us a whole long list of rules and laws that we have to listen to, that we have to obey. K'dei she'nara es hayosenu kfuf me'lov, and by keeping these laws, we are demonstrating that we are subservient to him. And that's, a person looks at the same way that he looks at things with the laws of some tyrant or some monarch or whatever it might be. And you might even look at that as some of the laws of even a democracy that he feels that he doesn't really need. These are just, you know, to see to it that will be law-abiding citizens, v'chule. That's all. But there's no tachlis, a deeper tachlis in this, or anything that this is for who I am and to help me to become a greater person. It's a tachlis. Zui kamuvan havana chitzonis lechalutin v'shetches. This, of course, is a very very superficial and mistaken way of looking at all of Yiddishkeit, all of Torah mitzvahs. Lemaisa, mitzvahs haTorah boos mitoch diagnoza amuka shel mehus adam. The truth is that every mitzvah of the Torah comes from Hashem's diagnosis of a human being. The deepest diagnoza means diagnosis, if you were wondering. The deepest diagnosis of a human being, of a yid. This is not the goyim have seven mitzvahs. That's their diagnosis. And if you think, wow, he got such a good diagnosis. He's got seven. he only needs seven things. I got 613 and drabonins and all this stuff. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's diagnosis, Amukah Shemahusa Adam, the Mahusa V'Yid, the Jew is infinitely more complicated and infinitely simpler. And the Yid needs much, 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 much more. In order for us to be who we have to be, it's much more complicated and much more beautiful and deeper. So we have 613 mitzvahs, all the drabbanans. That's Hashem's diagnosis. That's Hashem's diagnosis. Yesterday I had my mother, she should be Baba, so she has to take a certain amount of pills every morning. She has, Baruch Hashem, just... She has to take all these pills. So we were trying to give her, so it's always an Indian, so someone to the water and to the thing, to drink and to take the pills. So there were six pills, and she said, I'm only taking five today. So I said, Ma, like, what did you decide, what's today? She said, five. So I said, but the doctor said, Ma, you need to take this. It's good. So she said, the doctor doesn't know everything. I'm not taking it. So I had already made a cheshbon to put into some apples, to do something like some eitzah to do over here. No, she never did that before. Such a thing that she's... So although 2 days ago she thought it was Yom Kippur, so she didn't want to eat anything. It was a whole mice. But she was eating yesterday, and she didn't want to take the pill. So I was able to. I told her, Ma, it's not a pill. She said, what do you mean it's not a pill? It's a pill. So I said, no, it's a vitamin. So she said, it's a vitamin? I said, yeah. You have something against vitamins? There's nothing wrong with vitamins. Everybody likes vitamins. She said, it doesn't look like a vitamin. I said, it's a vitamin, Ma. Would I tell you something that's not true? I said, it's a vitamin. She says, okay, no, a vitamin. Then why doesn't it taste good? I said, listen, there's a new type of vitamin. They're going to make it better. They're going to make it better. So when the patient starts to know the diagnosis better than the doctor. It's a diagnosis, and you can't, because doctors make mistakes. They're human beings, even the best doctors. But the Baruch Hashem doesn't make any mistakes. And he says, you need to take this today. I don't want to take this today. No, you have to put on tefillin today. It's a weekday. It's not Shabbos. Not Yom. You have to put on tefillin. I'm not putting on tefillin today. All right. So, but the diagnosis, and not a human, the Baruch Shalom's diagnosis is that you have to put on tefillin. That's the deepest diagnosis. Hashem knows the mahus. Again, a human being can make mistakes. And then not all the medicine is good. It's not really all good. But the Baruch Shalom knows that this is the diagnosis, and this is exactly the pill you need to take. It doesn't taste good. Okay, maybe tomorrow will taste better. But you need to take it. That's the diagnosis. Diagnosis. Amukah shemuhusad. Bitoch hakara amukah mianachnu. Comes with this a person understands, it comes with a deep understanding, mi anachnu, who are we? The Baruch Shalom knows who you are. He knows exactly what you need. See, he's telling this one, you dance with the third, and he tells this one, and you are happy, and you clap, and you watch. That's what he says. The same way he says, you take this medicine, and you don't take this medicine. Somebody will say, it's not fair. How come he gets to have chemotherapy and I don't? There's the Maisa. It's not fair. How come he gets to have chemotherapy? I also want to have chemotherapy. How come he's on dialysis? I also want to be on dialysis. Because for this person, it's going to save his life. And for you, it's going to kill. That's all. I don't feel that way. That's going back to the chumash that identifies itself as matzah, right? I don't feel that way. I feel that this is something that's good for me. I feel this would make me feel good. It's not going to be. It's not good for you. I'm an expert in this, in the kidneys. And I'm telling you, the dialysis is not good for you. that's bad for you. Is that with the kidneys dialysis? I don't remember. Yeah, that's bad for you. It's not fair. But this is what it is. And human beings can make mistakes, but the Baruch Hu doesn't make any mistakes. Because Hashem Yisbarach knows without any question what's the teva and what's the atzmius of a Jew. And so Baruch Hu knows that if you're going to have milk, you have to meat, that messes you up. That doesn't mean that you start coughing or something, but he knows what that, the Baruch Hu knows what that does to you. That's bad for you. But I want to have an ice cream. And if God loved me, he would let me have an ice cream. Haturn is sent us to Lonel Maisa and said, Jerochim Shebehen, Nimamesh es Azehus Ha'atzmis Shalom. The Torah gives us all of the ways that we need in order to facilitate that self-discovery, in order to bring out, to help us bring out the atzmius. Now, it doesn't guarantee that because a person keeps misses and he's careful with all the los essays and he does what he's supposed to, that he's necessarily going to be connected to the atzmius. You have to do all the misses with Hashem Yisbarach. You have to stay away from all the averus because of Hashem Yisbarach. Not as a matter of culture or habit. It's a matter of culture or habit. You just, you know, it's good that you do everything and that you stay away from bad stuff, of course. But if you're doing just as a matter of habit and without thinking and without avoida, so that's not going to necessarily lead you to the atzmius of, you know, anything more than, of course, staying in line as a Jew, which is a big thing. Being a servant of Hashem and doing what Hashem says is a huge thing. And if it means Kabbalah Sol and Mesiras Nefesh, that's all good. But to the degree that a person does that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with this understanding that we're learning, so then you're going to come to that place of the atzmius of who you are. Else you could be a good, obedient person, and that's nice, and you get everybody gets rewarded in the next world for whatever they did that's right. But the atzmius and the tachlis of who you are, to come to the tachlis of who you are, it's a lot of, you know, you could have two people are keeping Shabbos, and they keep the same halachas, the two people, but this one's in a different world altogether. And this one's not. It's a different, two different, but they're both keeping exactly the same halachas. They make the same kiddush. They stay away from the same light switch. They're keeping the same. Everything's the same. Shabbos. Both houses, you look at it from the outside, it's the same Shabbos. Everything the same. But there's two different universes, these two people. Two different worlds. HaTorah Pesachas HaSon LaHakari Yisodis Ma'od. The Torah gives us, opens us up to a very basic HaKari Yisodis Ma'od Bavana Seinu Satsmeinu. It gives us the ability on a very deep level, on a very basic level, to understand who we are. The Torah is teaching us that each one of us has within us so much more beyond that which we ever thought. There's so much more to each one of us than we ever imagined. But Hashem knows what we have. And therefore, he keeps us away from things that are bad for who we are. But this is not going to be bad for me. Why is this going to be bad for me? How is this going to hurt me? Because the Baruch Hu knows who you are. So, I mean, how's it going to hurt you? The same way that the child says, why is this going to be bad for me? How come if I watch this movie, this is going to be bad for me? This is not going to be bad for me. I know a lot of people that watch this movie, but the parents know, because they know who this child is, and the child is an innocent and sweet and beautiful child, and the parents know that this is going to hurt the child. The child doesn't know that. The child says, this is very good. It's not going to hurt me. All my friends do this. Why can't I do this? The parents know the child. The parents know the child, and because the parents know the child, they know that this is going to hurt the child. This is bad for the child. You know, I have one of my grandchildren is very allergic. You know, like very, very, you know, allergic to certain kinds of things that there's like with nuts and stuff like that, anything like that. That you have to prepare. That even if she smells certain things, she's Baruch Hashem outgrowing it, but. It was, you know what I'm talking about, right? There's a sensitivity, very, very strong sensitivity that she once or twice had something by mistake or at camp or whatever. And she, even though, you know, people, somebody made a mistake, whatever. But it's an amazing thing. I was talking to my wife about it. This one of my little granddaughters. And she's sitting at a table. And because we always say, you know, we're not going to put out then that dessert or whatever because we don't want I don't want to say the name of this, the granddaughter, but let's just call her Rachel, right? So we don't put out because we're not going to put out that because I want Rachel to feel bad. So we'll just, you know, it's something, we'll just put out whatever, you know, something Rachel could have. And everybody would have the same thing that Rachel's having. And we're all okay with that. That's fine. So we don't put out Davka this thing. But my daughter says, her mother says, no, it's fine. She's fine. And she is. It's an amazing thing how a little child has been conditioned to understand that what's good for her and what's not good for her. And once or twice she had something that wasn't good for her, and it wasn't good for her. It hurt her, right? Whatever, she had this kind of reaction. And she's able to sit at the table, and she's watching the whole Olam have like this whole dessert or something, or this type of food, and she sits with a little thing that was prepared for her, and she's fine. She's happy. She's not saying, how come I can't have that? Because even in her little mind, as a little kid, Zifashtayt, that this is not hers. It's not for her. This is not good for her. And it takes work, the parents, to talk and to explain it, because, of course, the teva of the child is, how come I can't have what he's having, what she's having? I want to have what everybody has. But she's b'chlal not, and it's an interesting thing to watch. She's totally happy with her own little pekala. She's totally happy. And she goes to school, and she's surrounded by the kids, and the kids, this one has this one has that. And she's happy. She does her thing. Why? Because she knows, this is me. She learned that this is her. And that her parents love her, and they're helping her to be healthy. And she understands that. A little kid, she understands that. V'yisrael yada, amil hezbarnim, but how many of us are adults and we don't get that? We don't get that. People who are not Jewish, they look at certain things on their... I'll just give an example. People who are not Jewish can look at certain things. They look at certain things on their telephones or on their computers. And the Baruch Shalom says to Jews, you know, you don't look at that. It's not good for you. It's good for him. It's not good for me. Right. A little child can understand that, but we can't understand it. Well, we understand it, but we try not to understand it. We don't want to face that. But the Baruch Shalom says, that's not good for you. But the whole world does that. The whole world. Just like the kid says, everybody in my class, right? The whole world, we don't do that? Or you don't think that? The whole world can do that. I can't do that. Where does that come from? That comes from Hashem Yisbarach knowing us and loving us and giving us a prescription that only He can write. That the Baruch Shalom knows that. Because the Baruch Hu knows what's inside each and every one of us. And therefore He writes the prescription so that each and every one of us can grow into those healthy Jews that He wants us to be. And the Baruch Hu knows that when Jewish eyes see certain things, it's bad for us. What about the Ben Noach? That's a different thing. But for a Jew, it's bad for you. This is bad. This is not going to make you, in the end, it's not going to make you happy. You might think you can get some thrill, it's going to be great. Just like the little girl that might think she can get a thrill from having this this type of cake or something, in the end, she's not going to be happy. Hashem knows so much more that's beyond that which we can understand, the way that we understand ourselves, the way that we can absorb about who we are. We don't know who we are. What does it mean, a yid? What's a yid? A nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayim. What's a yid? So sometimes you have to try to say to a person, you know, I heard you're an einikel from the Rebbe of Meilich. You know, you try to go like to the next step. You're not just a Jew, but you're an einikel from Rebbe Meilich from Lezhensk, you know. You shouldn't be doing this. But really, you don't have to go to any of that, you know, eniklich stuff. It's nice to have a good yichas. But yeah, it's enough that Hashem Shabbat made you into a Jew. And even if you're not an eniklich from the Rebbe of Meila, the Baruch Shalom made you into a Jew. And this is not for a Jew. It's not good for you. Rivadim amukim upnimim ma'oid klulim b'zehus ha'atzmi shelanu. They're very, very deep, deep layers that a Jew is made of, that create that zehus, that identity ha'atzmi shelanu, the Jew. B'garin ha'pnimi shel misha anachnu be'emes. That seed, that point of be'emes, of what a Jew is and who you are and where your neshama comes from and what your neshama needs. In order to be able to really reach a level of self-understanding and awareness. We have to learn, become acquainted with the deepest layers of who we are. That's what we're trying to do when we learn. When we learn, especially when you're learning Pnimis HaTorah, to understand what is my nefesh, what is my ruach, what's the neshama, who am I? Who am I? But of course, if you're only teaching the nigla of Torah, if you're only teaching do this and don't do that, and the person that grows up, a boy and a girl, they grow up without ever knowing who they really are in Pnimis, all they hear is don't do this and do that, and that's what we're dealing with. Unless they learn, unless you teach a Jew, who are you? But you're expecting people to go on the rest of their lives doing these mitzvahs and not doing these aveiros. But they don't know why, and they don't know who they are. They don't feel that connected. They don't feel that this other than something maybe cultural. But culture is a piece of kogel also. But to know what is a nefesh. I know when I was growing up, nobody told me what's a nefesh. I don't know anything. What is this about? So at some point they start giving a class in Jewish history, which is very important. Kilo, if you know Jewish history, that's going to give you that sense of identity because you have this. Then they use the Jewish heritage and whatever, all those diburim, right? And giving you a sense of yourself because you need a perspective. And if you study Jewish history, which everybody should, it's very important. And if you study Jewish history, then you're going to have a perspective of what a Jew is. Certainly much, much more than if you don't study Jewish history. But that's not yet anywhere near who you are. Just because you know, there was an Inquisition and there were pogroms and other stuff. So the people tried to find like this identity by identifying with things in our past. And that we have a common history and a common past and a heritage and the museums, and then they say Tikkun HaOlam, that Tikkun HaOlam business. And that's the whole Yiddish guy. And Shaykhis to your nefesh, who in the Shabbat, what's the Neshama, what's the who, what? And that there's not only in the non-Orthodox, in our own schools, our own yeshivas, they're being raised without a shemitz of a slightest knowledge of what's a Zayid, who is a Jew. Your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish, Gandhi. But what is it? What does it mean to be a Jew? So then we'll teach you some Jewish history. Then you'll have a perspective of what it means to be a Jew. Okay, I give a perspective of the Jewish people. But who am I? You're one of the people who was part of this whole story. You're in that story. Okay, but can we get a little bit? I want to get a little bit more personal to understand. Like, so what does it mean? Who am I? What is a Jew? What is a Yid? What are these Oiris HaNefloim Shel HaNefesh, these wondrous lights that are inside of me? I don't know, I never saw anything, any light inside of me. I know what you're talking about. What kind of light? The Oiris. HaRuach HaNeshama, the Nefesh, Ruach Neshama. HaTorah HiZu Shem Lamedes HaSanu LiPageish HaMechav MaHalalu. When you learn Torah, of course he's going to talk about Pnimis HaTorah in particular. When you learn Torah, then you are introduced to those Merchavim, those expanses inside of you. Like the ancient Moshe, person goes up in a cave, he has no musig of, he thinks that's his whole life. That's not, that's the Kadmonim spoke about that, even the people that were not Jewish. I don't want to say names, they're not pure. But they spoke about such things. You grow up in a cave, and you think this is us. So that's the whole Metzias that you grew up in. So the point of learning Torah, and especially Pnimius Torah, is to introduce a person to the expanses, to the universe that's inside of himself. You know, when we were kids, there was a movie. It was one of the most chashuv movies I saw. It was called Fantastic Voyage. And what it did was, it made people into tiny little, like, macroscopic creatures. It was a science fiction. Mm-hmm. And they went into the bodies, into a human body. And they're like, they're taking like a whole tiul inside of the body. And it was an amazing thing. This is probably in the 60s, I think. It was a long time ago. It was an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. So the marshal that I always understood from that is that when a person is mevatel himself, and he makes himself small, and this bittle, then he's able to see within himself a universe that he never ever saw. He's able to see that within each and every one of us. I don't know. I don't remember biology and stuff that I took. All the pratim, but every single cell is like a whole murdic binion of and every single atom and every single part of human being and every single piece of a person inside is like a whole world, a universe. That's just in Gashmias. We're not even talking about Ruach, Neshama. In Gashmias, what's inside is unbelievable. They used to have, when you grew up, they had this thing called World Book Encyclopedia. I'm going back now to the... These are only for the post-60 or 55, however. But we had World Book Encyclopedia, and they had this one where it was the human body and had plastic things he lifted off of. You remember that, Steve? Yeah. He lifted off the different layers of the body. And it showed you to see the pneumias of the body and different stages of how it works there. And it was spoiled that the Baruch Shalom made such a thing. And all of that is just the gashmias of a person, not the ruchnias. It's nothing. You can't even say nothing, because nothing is an insult. It's gurnish mit gurnish. to the ruchnias of a Jew. To the ruchnias, you can't see that with your eyes. It's just the gashmias of a person. It's just the gashmias of a person. And then when we took biology then, and we had lab, and then you look inside, so they gave us to look inside of a, I don't remember. Yeah, so it was a whole tumult, because in the yeshiva, the science teacher gave pigs, and then we were fighting against that, and that we shouldn't have pigs to look inside. So I wanted to give us, because we were upset about having a chaz look inside. So they gave us, I think, a cat or something. I don't remember. But anyway, then you look inside, you see, what's the... This is just a cat, this is an animal. What's going on inside over here? It's a whole malacha that Rabbi Yishlam made here. It's a whole malacha. It's the gashmias of an animal. And then you're talking about, you know what's better for your neshama. You know, is that you know that it's okay for your neshama to look at that thing on the phone. You think that's okay for your neshama. Who wrote that prescription for you? The one who made you. He knows what your neshama is. You know, you have a musik what your neshama is. You want to know? Then start to learn. Start to learn what's a neshama. When you learn, it introduces you to these expanses, to dissect yourself. And the Torah gives us guidelines and instructions. That by following these guidelines, so first learning, also to learn, and following these guidelines, of course, it's Nasev Nishma, you committed to following all of the guidelines. All of these guidelines or instructions are in order to facilitate that gilui umimush, the revelation of the soul to oneself, to be able to discover the essence of oneself, and through that, and then living in that way, where you are nurturing that self, then you will come to Simchas Achai. You'll come to the greatest joy. And even before a person can come to the deeper understanding by having emuna in all that we're learning, because I'm not in this madrega. No, by believing in what we're learning, by a person having emuna in this, that this is the truth, even though we didn't yet dissect ourselves necessarily, and I don't know. I'm not a Kabbalist. I'm not a Makubal. I didn't learn these things. What's the nefesh? But by being mechazik ourselves with emuna, that the Baruch Shalom does know, and he made us in such a way, and he knows exactly what's for every single part. And I just remember when I was taking in college when we had biology. So the way they did it, I don't know how they do it now. They put pins like in different parts of the animal. So you had to look at the thing and then to say this is a chvais, this is the esophagus, this is the kishkas, whatever you had to write. So they put a pin. So there was some guy that got caught, like he was moving all the pins around. The teacher turned, I don't know, it was a whole thing that when they wanted to throw him out of the school. He was like, because he didn't study, so he wanted to like mess everybody up with the pins. And so I don't know how he did that. He snuck in at some point and he moved the pins around. So we're looking at the pin and everybody's writing the wrong thing. And it was a crazy thing with the pins. But the Rosh Hashanah doesn't make any mistakes. This is exactly where it's supposed to be. This is what it is. That's even in Gashmias and in Ruchnias, the Baruch Shalom made inside each and every one of us. And our whole lives we have, the Baruch Shalom said, I want you to learn about this, how I made you. I want you to learn who you are. You want me to study Jewish history? That's good. You should study Jewish history. But that's just the Aleph. That's just for beginners, Jewish history. Everybody has to know Jewish history. But that's Aleph. To learn Pnimius HaTorah, to learn Torah, to learn Pnimius HaTorah. Every single word, every single sentence, every word you're learning in the Gemara seems to be talking about something that never was, never is. In Pnimius, it's the whole essence of life. Every single word in the Gemara, every single Rashi, every single Taisus. That's because Hashem Shabbat loves us. He opened up the whole universe to each and every one of us. We should be Zayichim Hashem. It's today's Zion Other Aleph. So we should be thankful that the Baruch Shalom sent the Torah and sent Moshe Rabbeinu to the world. We should be Zayichim to learn Torah and Emes with the Pnimius.